Somebody said amen. Now, the Lord is going to speak to us today. I feel very strongly impressed of the Lord to talk about what we're going to talk about. It is, as you'll see, it was birthed from the happenings of this week. Thank you to each of you who were faithful to this week. Didn't God bless us mightily? Oh, amen. Let me just say this. If you could have been here, but you chose not to be here, you missed it. You just missed it. And if you call this your home church, you should have been here. You should have been here. God has done some tremendous things this week. And I thank God for each and every one of you who were here, that were faithful. Now, I understand some of you couldn't be here. Some of you let me know the reasons why. We understand. I'm just saying, if you could have, amen. But the Lord blessed us. The Lord blessed us. Amen. How many were ministered to this week? How many were ministered at the rally on Friday night? Man. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And so the Lord's going to talk to us today. Now, I want to speak today on this subject, local leads to global. Turn to your neighbor and just tell them, local leads to global. I want to speak today. I want to make sure I say everything I'm supposed to say. And I want to make sure that I say it correctly. So let's just pray that not only that I would say everything I'm supposed to say in a correct, godly, spirit-led manner, but that you would hear what the Spirit would have to say. Could we just pray that one more time? Let's pray one more time. Jesus, we love you. God, I know you've given me this word for this moment. God, there's just a little apprehension in my spirit, not because of what you want me to speak, but so that I speak it correctly, with right motives, led of the Spirit, not of my flesh. So God, I pray you guard every word. Don't let one word leave my mouth that you have not ordained for me to say. And I pray for this great church, Lord God, that you would give us ears to hear what the Spirit would have to say. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Somebody said amen. Local leads to global. You may be seated. I want to begin and somewhat preface my remarks today by saying that from the bottom of my heart, I believe this to be a great church. In fact, I sincerely believe that in all the world. It's not just something I say. I believe that. This is the greatest church in all the world. Oh, hallelujah. I don't want to be anywhere else. I don't want to go anywhere else. This is where God has called me to be, and I'm so thankful that God has called me to pastor the greatest church in the whole world. Many of you sitting on those chairs today are some of the greatest people I know. And I am so honored and privileged, my wife and I both, to be called your pastor. This church has submitted itself time after time after time, again, as the Spirit of the Lord would lead us about certain biblical principles that he would desire for us to operate in and be submitted to. And even though some of those things were difficult and some of those things were challenging, so many people in this room were obedient and willing and submitted themselves to the call of God over this church. Great sacrifice has taken place in many lives that are here today. Great giving has been offered by many people that are here today. We could go around the room and speak to you of different people and the tremendous sacrifices that they have made for the advancement of this local congregation and the advancement of the kingdom of God as a whole. Great accomplishments have been made possible because of the work and the diligent work, faithful, consistent work of so many people that are in this room right now and by so many people who have already gone on to be with the Lord. And yet, how many know in this room today that we have not yet arrived? How many know that there is something within your heart and within your spirit? There is a certain semblance of a longing that is there because you know and understand that we have not attained everything that God has asked us to do. How many truly believe that the greatest days of the church are not behind us? Come on, I need somebody to believe with your pastor right now that the greatest days of the church are not behind us, but the greatest days of the church are ahead of us. Come on, I don't believe we've seen the greatest moves of God. I don't believe we've seen the greatest revivals. I don't believe we've seen the greatest harvest. I don't believe we've seen the greatest things. Come on, I believe those days are with us now in our present and will be with us in our future. Come on, I'm ready to see everything that God has planned for us. I said, I want to walk in everything that God has positioned with us. I want to join arm in arm with each of you, and I want us to walk into our destiny. I want us to take territory for the kingdom and the glory of God. I want us to accomplish everything He's called us. Come on, if that's the way you feel, shout unto God with the voice of triumph. I believe it. In fact, if you were here on Wednesday and Thursday, if you were here, you'll know that it was prophesied about that God is even now leading us into the greatest revival and the greatest harvest that this church has ever seen. Oh, hallelujah. Now, here's the deal when it comes to that, and I can feel a little bit of it in the room right now. You are going to have to make a decision. Is that something I'm going to choose to believe? Or is that something I'm just going to sit back and say, well, if it's true, it'll happen. We'll just wait and see what God's going to do. And not put your faith. I mean, no, the Bible talks about there's a power, there's an importance of mixing our faith with the word of the Lord. I mean, no, if we don't mix our faith with the word of the Lord, it's not going to come about. Even if that's what was promised to us, even if that's what the word of the Lord said was going to come about, we can sit back on our laurels if we want to and with the wait and see approach, and guess what? It's not going to happen. But I choose to believe. I don't need 100% of you, but I could use 2 or 3 of you right now to just join with your pastor. I choose to believe the word of the Lord. I choose to believe the report of the Lord. I choose to believe that even right now we are stepping into a dimension of apostolic harvest, and I feel a door. Oh, I feel a door opening in the spirit realm, and we as a church are entering into a new dimension of harvest and revival, the likes of which we have never seen. I choose to believe that with all that is within me. Sit there, stone face. Sit there, don't clap. Sit there staring at everybody else if you want. We're going to see it. We're going to walk in it. We're going to be in the middle of it. If you're still here, you're going to see it happen too. You're just not going to be the catalyst that's going to help us get there, but we're going to see it. We're going to walk in it. We're going to dwell in it. We're going to do what God has called us to do. Hallelujah. I'll take the believers and we'll go into battle. The rest of you can do what you want to do, but we're going to go into battle and we're going to accomplish what God has called us to accomplish for the kingdom and the glory of God Almighty. Hallelujah. Somebody said amen. I believe now. You may be seated. I believe now we are seeing good things. But it is the will of God for us to see greater things than anything we have ever seen before. I can't feel a release from this. Somebody in the room right now is thinking this. Well, I've heard preachers tell us that before. I've heard preachers talk about and get up there and hoop and holler about greater revival coming before. I've heard preachers prophesy over this church before about all this great stuff that's going to happen. Please hear me. I do believe that God spoke to this church prophetically through Brother Smith. I judge that to be from God. The word of the Lord speaking prophetically over this church concerning us experiencing the greatest revival and harvest of souls that we've ever seen before. Beginning to walk into that dimension of harvest like we've never accounted for in our past. Witnessing greater things. But here's the thing. Like all true prophecies, it has to measure up and it has to align itself with the word of the Lord. So what was the biblical precedent for that prophetic utterance that went forth through the anointed man of God this week from this, in this room? What was the biblical precedent for what he spoke? I'll show you. Jesus himself speaking would say this, John 14 and 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do. If you don't believe God wants to do greater things in our midst, it's not because you don't believe what the preacher says. It's because you don't believe what the word of God says. Well, another preacher saying greater things. No, that preacher under the anointing and the auspices of the power of Almighty God was simply speaking what the word of the Lord has already promised to us as a believer, telling us that greater works than these shall we do. Greater things is not just what some man said was going to happen. Therefore, we can pick and choose to whether or not we're going to believe the man or not. No. Greater things is what God's word has promised to every single believer. Greater things is what God's word has promised to every single church. So I choose to believe first and foremost the word of the Lord. And then I choose because of that to believe the prophetic utterance of the man of God preaching under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I choose to believe. I believe. I believe. Turn to two or three people if you believe. If you don't, sit down. But if you believe, turn to a few people and say, I believe, I believe, I believe. So I submit myself to the prophetic word of the Lord as it has aligned itself to the word of God. For I truly believe it is time for this great church to experience the greater things of God. And I thank God that we have some elders that believe it as well. I said, I thank God for elders that believe the greater things of God. I thank God for some elders that say, hey, I don't want to just coast until I get out of here or until the rapture comes, but I know I might not be able to do what I used to be able to do, but I still have a faith and a belief and an expectancy for greater things. Greater. Hallelujah. I got to watch my voice. Got to preach tonight. greater amount of souls being saved than what we've ever seen before. Greater water baptisms. Greater amounts and numbers of Holy Ghost baptisms than anything we've ever seen before. Greater amounts of people repenting of their sins. Greater miracles than anything we've seen before. Greater supernatural occurrences than anything we've seen before. Greater breakthrough. Greater blessing. Greater provision. Greater promise. Greater outpouring. Somebody shout, greater things. Shout greater thing. Come on, put your hands together if you believe that and give him praise. Come on, in expectation for what is in your heart and in your mind and in your spirit. Yet if you were here this week, now we're going to shift a little bit, but if you were here this week, you'll also know that the Lord had somewhat to say against our great church, specifically in response to a particular area where we are currently falling short. I'm thankful that the Lord loves us enough to talk to us about our weakness. If you thought this church was perfect, you are sadly mistaken. If for no other reason than I'm your pastor. If you thought this church was hitting every mark, then that's just not true. We can still be the greatest church in the whole world. But it doesn't mean we're a perfect church. I feel like as the man of God under the anointing of the Holy Ghost this week began to speak to us, of which I'm going to reiterate from a pastoral perspective today, but as the man of God began to speak to us about a particular area in our church's existence where we are falling short, I feel like the church at Ephesus, when the Lord listed all of the things that they were doing right. Because you do so many things well. In fact, our church in a lot of areas, more than what you even know, is an example that many other churches are using as a guide and as a help for where their church can be. And they are looking to our church, different avenues, different things that we do in our church. Many churches look to our church as an example of the believers. So I say again, we do a lot of things well. We're doing a lot of things how God would desire for us to do with that. And I thank God for that. And yet, as was spoken this week, there is something that the Lord does not like about us. And there is something that is not pleasing to the Lord as it applies to us as a church. For it was spoken over us that whereas, and it's going to get a little quiet for a bit, and that's all right, that whereas we are a people that are powerful in prayer as it pertains to what we do and what we see and what we encounter within these four walls, the Spirit of the Lord challenged us this week and revealed to us this week concerning the fact that we are powerful in this room. But then we leave that prayer here. We leave that power here when we dismiss. And we do not walk in that same effectiveness of prayer and of power outside of these four walls. We're powerful in here, but we're weak out there. Now listen, if please don't take offense to anything I'm saying about this church. Just let me remind you, I'm the pastor of this church. So we're in this together is my point. If we're not doing something right, ultimately, I have a part in all of this. Not totally and completely, and we'll discuss that in a minute. But please don't just sit there and think, well, he's just bashing us, because I'm not bashing you, because I also am a part of this church. We are lions in here, but lambs out there. We are forceful in here, but timid out there. We are strong in here, but we are weak out there. And whereas those statements do not necessarily define everybody in the church, the truth of the matter is that those words spoken under the anointing of the Holy Ghost this week did not shock me, nor did they catch me unaware. And I just have a feeling by what I'm experiencing right now in the spirit, from your spirit, that it did not catch you unawares either. For you also knew that this was an area of weakness in our church. The truth of the matter is that it's that very mindset. Strong in here, but weak out there. Not doing what God has called us to do as believers outside of these four walls. It is that very mindset, and it is that very attitude that I have warred against, and I have preached against, and I have taught against, and I have prayed against for such a long, long time. And the truth of the matter is this, and Brother Smith spoke it into my life in a moment of privacy, but there is a weariness that is within me that has been brought about by the fact that for 20 plus years I have pushed and I have pulled and I have preached and I have taught, and yet I just can't seem to get more than just a few of us at a time to do what God has called us to do outside these four walls. And as hard as I've preached and as much as I've taught, I just can't seem to motivate the majority of the church to push past the ease of knowing that we're saved, so that we can truly begin to accomplish what it means to be apostolic outside of these four walls. We're comfortable with the reality that we've repented and that we were baptized and that we're filled with the Holy Ghost and that we're ready for heaven. And then we began to be at ease. And we'll do stuff here and we'll volunteer here and we have ministries here, but it's all here. And we look at everything, well, and I'm doing this for God and I'm doing that for God. But everything, well, I'm a musician and I'm a praise singer and I'm a hospitality worker and I set up this and I do that and I work here in the church and I clean the church and I do this, and it all happens here. And somehow, some way, we begin to believe a lie from the devil himself that we're accomplishing what God has called us to accomplish. And I have warred against that and warred against that and preached against that and taught against that until there's weariness in my spirit and weariness in my soul. We like the atmosphere here. We like the excitement here. Come on now. You know I don't always preach like this. We like the depth of spirit that we feel here. We like the music here. We like the programs here. We like the spirit that we feel. We like how it makes us feel when we walk in this room. We like the fellowship. We like the building. We like the ministry. We like the concept of the vision. So we pray in here and worship in here and we rejoice in here and we enjoy the presence of God and of one another in here. But what's happening in here is not being taken out there. So that those who need it the most. I thank God for every miracle that happened this week to every saved person. I believe that is apostolic. I believe we should operate and walk in miracles. But guess what? If you didn't receive your miracle and you died, you'd go to heaven. It's not the will of God for us to just pray all the time for miracles in other believers' lives. There's nothing wrong with that, and we'll continue to do that. But it seems like that's where that is the culmination. That's what we feel like is what we're supposed to do with the power we possess, is pray for other believers to get their miracle. The truth of the matter is that is not the culmination of what we're supposed to be doing with our power. Because as Brother Smith reminded us, and as I've taught many, 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 many times, the avenue of the miraculous outside of these four walls is meant to lead that person to a revelation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Shouting in here about the power that we possess. But what are we doing with that power out there? We shout about it in here, but what are we doing with it out there? Rejoicing in here about who we are as Pentecostals, but what are we doing with that Pentecostal power in the lives and hearts of people who need it the most? Tremendous excitement in here when the subject of greater harvest and greater revival is preached about. I preached about it the first 5 minutes of this message, and almost all of you were standing and clapping and rejoicing. But what are we personally doing out there in order to cause the harvest to become an actuality and a reality? Or do we just like to shout about it and rejoice about what will be? We shout about the truths that we know. We shout about the fact that the truth shall make you free. But when was the last time we shared that truth with anyone in the form of a Bible study? If the truth sets us free, it's not enough for me to just shout about that fact with Pastor Ron. He already knows the truth. He's going to preach the truth later today at his campus. We shout and dance and rejoice when we get up here and preach about Jesus' name baptism and the oneness of God, and we should, and we'll continue to do so. But that's not supposed to be the all. If we truly believe this truth has the power to set the captive free, then who or what captive people are we sharing the truth with? When was the last time we taught a Bible study? Now listen, I'm preaching to myself more than anybody in the room, but when was the last time we taught a Bible study? Well, I play an instrument, so that's what I'm supposed to do. I sing, I'm a hospitality, so I'm doing what God's called me to do. No sir, no ma'am. When was the last time we taught a Bible study to somebody? When's the last time we discipled somebody? We love the verse that promises us that we can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, and we do it in here. But we're too timid out there. Come on. Just get real today. We'll go up to somebody in here and say, "Can I lay my hands on you? I believe God's going to heal you." Why? Because we've worshiped with that same person for 20 years or 5 years. But when it comes to people out there who we don't know so well, but still feel the prompting of the Holy Ghost, we get intimidated and we don't do what we're called to do. But a lot of times we say, no, I'm operating in my Pentecostal power because just yesterday I laid my hands on Sister So-and-so and God touched her life. I'm thankful for the miracle in Sister So-and-so's life. But the reality is that power does not leave us when we leave this house. The problem is when we're here, we have boldness. But when we walk out of this room, we allow the spirit of intimidation to stop us. And so we operate in no apostolic power, apostolic authority all week until we come back on Sunday and start laying our hands on brothers and sisters in the Lord. Come on, somebody. We are in many ways led of the Spirit in here. But too often is the case that we are intimidated by hell out there. And I want you to please hear my heart today. I'm not preaching angry. I'm not preaching mad. For this church and you wonderful people mean the world to me. But the vision has to come first. The vision is the most important thing because it's not about what we want for the church. And it's not about what we want the church to look like. And it's not about how we want the church to operate. It is what does God want for the church. And as the pastor of this church, as much as I love each and every one of you, I have to keep pushing and I have to keep pulling and I have to keep reaching and I have to keep speaking what God is wanting to say because he's trying to get us to the place where we are not just apostolic in this room, but we are apostolic outside of this house. I love you. I love you so much. And I would never knowingly hurt you with my words in any way, knowingly hurt you in any way with anything I would ever say or preach or teach to you. But there is a form of complacency that is resting upon this church where we will push and we will pray and we will believe and we will spiritually extend ourselves in order to see what God would desire to do when we all come together. And yet there are only a few that are pushing and believing and spiritually extending themselves in order to see that which God has promised out. We'll do it in here. We'll go to work hard here. We will push and pray here. We will believe here. But we won't do it out there. We're comfortable being apostolic in here. But we're uncomfortable being apostolic out there. And the reason this is all so important is because we're not going to find the promise, the promised harvest in here. This is not where we're going to find them. Thank God for every guest that is here. Thank God for every person you invite to the house of the Lord. I thank God for it. But this is not where we're going to find the promised harvest that God has given to us. We're not going to find it in this house. The harvest is out there. The harvest is in the field. We're not going to locate our end time revival here. Our end time revival is waiting for us out there. Waiting for us to be bold in the Holy Ghost. Waiting for us to take the power and the prayer and the spiritual effort that we utilize here and to begin to put it into operation out there. There is a lost world that is waiting for the church to be the church, not just in the church building, but for the church to be the church in their workplaces and in their high schools and in their neighborhoods and in their homes. And in the supermarkets and wherever you may go, there is a lost, dying world that is waiting for the church to be the church. Come on, lift your hands. I want you to stay prayerful, but I want you to listen to me. And I just skipped four pages and we're coming down. Because the Holy Ghost is here. I want this church to understand something. There is no way spiritual authority can do everything that needs to be done in order for the vision to become a reality. And the Lord, even though I knew that maybe intellectually, the Lord really gave me revelation of this week. If the church is going to see what the church has been promised, it's going to be up to you. It is absolutely essential that you believe. I've preached evangelism series. I've preached boldness. I've preached, what was the 18-part series I did? Faith in action. This is exactly what we're taught. Faith in action. Where? Not in here. Out there. It was like 18 parts. 18 services, or roughly that much. I taught and preached and taught and preached and pulled and pushed, trying to explain, trying to enlighten, trying to give revelation, trying to give understanding, trying to give insight about the responsibility of the church to operate in these things that God has called us to operate in. If it's going to happen, it's going to be because you believe. And because you begin to act on that belief. Pastor Ron, standing right over there when Brother Smith made the proclamation and spoke the prophetic utterance about this church walking into a dimension of harvest that we've never operated in before. My immediate thought was this. In about 70 days, my wife and I are going to be leaving for a period of time for our sabbatical. We thank the Lord first and foremost for allowing us that opportunity, but we thank this church greatly for allowing us that opportunity. The first thought that I had was, in 70 days, I'm leaving. I won't be here. How is that going to affect the promise? And the Lord checked my spirit. The Lord shut me down. And the Lord reminded me of the fact that if it's going to happen, it's going to be because of you. It's going to happen because people in this room do what you're supposed to do in order to make it a reality. I'm thankful for the position. I'm thankful that you call me pastor. I love being the pastor of this church. I want to be here until Jesus comes. We got 20 more campuses to start, so I'm going to be here for a bit. Can't get rid of me that quick. Once we hit 25, then we can talk. But I, listen, and here's what God spoke to me. And I know this is heavy today. And this is challenging today. But here's what the Lord spoke to me very clearly. If God can't motivate those in the church to apostolic action, how in the world do I think I can? If God can't convince you to walk in power as an apostolic believer and do what the word of the Lord has told us to do, if God can't convince you to do it, how do I think I could ever convince you to do it? And when that revelation came, and I'm just being transparent with you right now, and I almost didn't share any of this with you because I didn't know how some of you would receive it, but I feel I need to be transparent. Because the weariness that is on me is because for 20 plus years, I have taken responsibility for the harvest personally. And if I can't convince you to walk in it, or if God, excuse me, if God can't convince you to do it, how in the world would I ever think I could? What could I ever say to you that would be make a difference in your life greater than what God could say to you? So it is. A few months ago, and it's tight right now, it's fine. A few months ago, I taught about the fact that in order for our church to truly have a culture of revival and harvest and a culture of the vision being accomplished in this church of reaching up and reaching out and reaching in, reaching out outside of these four walls, that in order for this church to operate and have a culture of those things, a culture of worship, a culture of discipleship, a culture of evangelism, not just something that happens by one or two or three, but a culture of those things, that in order for that to happen, we needed at least 51% of you operating in those things, because you need a majority to create a culture. So I ask again to this great church, are you one that is helping us to achieve that majority percentage? Or are you one that we're having to make up for? Because you like to just receive what the church has to offer, but you're not adding anything to the vision. Well, I give my tithes and I volunteer every once in a while. That's not what we're talking about. Are you operating fully and completely and totally in the realm, in the dimensions of reaching up and reaching out and reaching in? More than just in word, are we in action, operating in apostolic power and authority outside of these four walls? Has the passion for the things of God, has it dwindled in your heart and in your life, and now we're just glad to come and sit on a pew and enjoy the presence of the Lord and enjoy the music and enjoy hopefully a good message and then just go home and live our lives until next Sunday because this is just what we do on Sundays? Or have we got to the place in our lives where we say, I'm not just an apostolic on Sundays, but on Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays. That action, that belief must push us beyond just lip service. And it must push us to action. That belief must place a burden in our hearts for souls like we've never had before. Hear me, if you think I'm trying to guilt you into doing something, you're missing everything that I'm preaching today. I'm talking about a God calling that is upon our lives, and I'm talking about the reality of you and I accepting that calling or rejecting that calling. You see, this passion, this desire for the vision must be burning within us, where we have to be teaching a Bible study to somebody, where we have to be discipling somebody. Come on, somebody. Well, there was a guest on Sunday, and I took 2 minutes, and I explained to them about repentance. And so I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, and I thank God for that. And yes, you were. That was a Bible study, and you helped them, and that's wonderful. But it's got to go beyond that. See, what we do if we're not careful is we begin to look at these little things we do, and then we act like this is the totality of what we should be doing. Why? Because that's easy for us. It's easy to talk to somebody in this altar, in this environment, for a few minutes about the word of the Lord, and then to pat ourselves on the back and say, I did what I was supposed to do. I'm teaching Bible studies. How many know that's a whole lot easier than taking another night out of your week? Come on, somebody. Jesus, help us right now. Jesus, help us right now. Speak to this great church right now, Holy Ghost. God, you have something against us. You have something against us. There is something that we are doing that we are displeasing you in our actions. So God, I pray right now, speak to this people. Speak to this people. God, if they won't listen to you, they won't listen to me. I pray you speak now. 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 In the name of the Lord Jesus. Stand to your feet, lift your hands, and close your eyes.